Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We'll start the meeting. This meeting will be recorded and the sound recording subsequently made available via the Council's website. Please also know that under the Openness of Local Government Bodies and Regulations 2014, that other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any images or sound recordings is not under the Council's control. Item number one, apologies.
We have apologies from Councillor Draycott, Councillor Hamilton is subbing for her, and Councillor Haji-Nicolaou, Councillor Gerard is subbing for him, and also the two parish members, Councillor Julie Jones and Councillor Erin Ellingworth, have also sent their apologies. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Item two, minutes of the previous meeting. To confirm as a correct record the minutes of the meeting held on the 22nd of March 2021. Is everybody okay with the previous minutes?
Chair, I'll abstain because I wasn't at the meeting.
Thank you. You'll abstain. Can we have a proposer and a seconder, please? Councillor Rollins, Councillor Bentley, thank you. Three, disclosures of pecuniary and personal interests. Are there any? None. Thank you. Item number four, questions on the committee procedure. There are no questions were received. Item number five, update on complaints received.
Thank you, Chair. So this is the regular report that the committee receives to update you on the numbers of complaints received and summary information for those complaints. At the time of writing the report, I was pleased to note that we had no complaints so far in 2021-22. Unfortunately, since I wrote the report, we have now had one that's going through the fact-finding stage, so you'll have more information about that at the next meeting. The other item of information recorded in the report, Chair, is an update following the panel hearing on the 4th of June into a complaint involving Councillor Howard Burstall Parish Council. The panel made three recommendations that are set out within the report. Burstall Parish Council have agreed to implement the first of those recommendations, but they didn't agree with the other two recommendations, which were to give Councillor Howe the same access to information and support that's given to other members of the Parish Council, and to consider commissioning an independent governance review of their processes and procedures. Happy to answer any questions, Chair.
Thank you. Any questions, councillors?
No questions.
Thank you, councillors. We'll move on then to item six, members' code of conduct options. A report of the monitoring officer asking that committees consider potential options in respect to the members' code of conduct.
Thank you, Chair. So I hope this report is fairly self-explanatory. You'll know from previous updates at earlier meetings of the committee that the LGA were in the process of developing a new suggested national code of conduct for councillors. That code of conduct has now been prepared and published. Some of the monitoring officers within the county, having looked at that LGA code, were of the view that it could be improved upon and adapted better fit local circumstances. So a group of them have worked on the code and have come up with an amended version of the LGA national code. So I think within the report what I've tried to do is give you three options, first of which is to retain our current code of conduct, and I've also included within the report a little table summarising what I think are the advantages and disadvantages of each option. So the first option is, as I said, is to keep the current code of conduct. The second option would be to adopt the LGA National Code of Conduct as drafted. And the third option would be to adapt the amended LGA Code of Conduct that monitoring officers within Leicestershire have worked on and adapted. I also said within the report I'd give you an update on what the other councils in Leicestershire were doing. So having done a quick straw poll today, some of the other districts, one of the other districts is pressing ahead with adopting what is your option three. So they are pressing ahead with adopting the adapted LGA code. Some of the others are in the early stages, so haven't yet made a decision. One of the other districts is waiting to see what the County Council does. And the County Council Monitoring Officer has informed me today that they are hoping to make a decision on what they are going to do, certainly by early next calendar year, so by January, February sort of time, we should know what the county are doing. Obviously, we do have a number of borough councillors who are dual-hatted county councillors, and one of the advantages we currently have is having a basic, common, shared code of conduct with the county, so dual-hatted councillors don't have to start pondering which code of conduct they're operating under, depending on which hat they're wearing. So I think, as well as the three options outlined within the report, Chair, there may be another option available to you tonight, which would be to wait and see what the County Council do, and then have another think as to, depending on if they were going ahead and adopting one of the new codes, would be to potentially consider adopting whichever version they adopted to make sure that we had a shared and common code of conduct, particularly for those councillors who are dual-hatted. And again, Chair, happy to answer any questions.
Chair, can I?
Councillor Bentley.
There we are, we're on. I'd like to move that, if that's okay, if we've got a seconder for that. I think it'd be sensible to wait and see what the County Council are doing, and then if we can, mirror what they're doing, rather than having two. I know that's like a bit difficult because it sort of postpones it, but sorry. No, is that okay? Do I need to add anything more to that? But I'm looking for a seconder for that.
I'll second that. I'm quite happy with that. I was going to propose that. And the other thing is, Mr. Ward, can you explain the reason behind if we go forever, whatever code of conduct we adopt, we have then got to be trained on it? Can you explain that, please?
Yeah, through you, Chair. The LGA code and the adapted LGA code are both substantially different to our current code of conduct. And both, well, I'll talk about the LGA code because in this respect they're both the same. One of the requirements within the LGA code is that all councillors have to attend training on that code of conduct. So I think, and I think I've mentioned this within the report, Chair, we would be required, if we adapted one of the LGA-based codes, to run mandatory training sessions for all councillors. And it's probably worth councillors being aware very early in that process that any councillor who failed to attend that training would, by default, have breached the code of conduct. And then we'd have to think about what we did with councillors who, for whatever reason, didn't attend the training, because they would, very early doors in the new code, already be in breach of the code of conduct. I think one of the other major differences for me, Chair, is there is a requirement within the codes of the LGA code of conduct for councillors to comply with any sanctions that arise out of consideration of complaints about them. That's not something that's in the current code, and I know from past experience that some councillors in the past have refused to comply with sanctions, and there has been no comeback against that. If we did adopt one of the LGA-based codes, not failing to comply with a sanction would be an automatic breach of the code of conduct. And I think I can foresee a situation where a councillor was deeply entrenched and didn't think they had done anything wrong. We could then descend into a spiral situation where they didn't comply with the sanction, they breached the code, it was found they'd breached the code, but they still didn't comply with the sanction. So you see what I mean? It would be an endless spiral if you haven't complied with the sanction, therefore you breached the code. Therefore there'd be a new hearing to confirm that you breached the code. But I can just see some complications arising from that, Chair, but I think that's something to worry about at a future date, to be honest.
Councillor Rawlings.
Yeah, I was going to ask about what the benefit would be of adopting one in the meantime, but given the compulsory training element, I'd suggest that's not a good idea because we're going to have to train potentially twice if we end up having to change which code we adopt. So I think it's important, not just for dual hatted, but of course we've got triple hatted as well, because the reality is most parish councils will adopt the code that we adopt. And if we aren't in sync with the county council, then that's going to become even more confusing for county councillors that are also borough councillors that are also parish or town councillors. So on that basis, I agree that a deferral will be appropriate. Given that we've got a code of conduct that works at the moment, it's worked for many years, yes, I think the new code is a big improvement on that with slightly stronger aspects of it. I don't think it's worth adopting something just for an interim measure, given how long our current code's been in place, just to then have to redo it again next year. So I would support the motion to defer for now until the County Council makes a decision.
Councillor Hamilton.
Thank you, Chair. At risk of this being a chorus of the same-minded, I think that's logical. I hadn't really thought about that until it was mentioned that we could simply defer, because my original questions were more around why the Leicestershire Monitoring Officers were unhappy with the original guidelines and things like that, because I'm always uneasy if a set of guidelines have been produced, you start playing with it or changing it. And I'm going back to my days as a school governor, where you're given proposed guidelines for policies, and then some governors, can't we change that and that? You say, well, so the wording's very carefully phrased, and there'll be kind of legal minds behind some of it, so you have to be really careful about changing things. But I think that the deferring is really important, because alignment and consistency, I think, is the key thing here. So I agree with what everyone has said so far.
Councillor Bendley, do you want to say something?
Yes, thank you. Adrian Ward was saying that you sort of can enter into this spiral. Unfortunately, that's pretty much what we've got already. But what we do need is a common code for as many people, as many boroughs and parishes to adopt as possible. And we've now got a situation where, in the past, I think that it was Mr. Ward's right, if you like, to sort whether or not to take forward something for further action, whereas that was changed in our constitution about 3 or 4 years ago now, where if something is necessary to perhaps look at it and take it further forward, it's discussed with the chair and vice chair. So I think there's putting in that extra safeguard as well. I think that I understand completely what you're saying about being in a spiral, but hopefully we shouldn't be getting there, because hopefully it'll be dealt with more heads looking at each case than was previously the case. So I'm comfortable with that.
Councillor Rawlings.
I think the reality is the law at the moment doesn't give us any other choice, does it? So at the moment there is no greater sanction than is available to us, and that's what's in the Code of Conduct. So until the law's changed, whereby there's greater sanctions for councillors that fail to comply with the code, we're always at risk of a spiral situation where somebody just refuses to comply. So I don't think it's the best of what I still consider a fairly bad situation.
Thank you, Chair. There was something else I meant to add, if the committee was minded to go down the route of waiting to see what the County Council does, and that was I would encourage you to go back to your political groups and make them aware of the report that's been presented to you tonight, because I think it's important that a lot of councillors, as well as many councillors as possible, have the option to look at the various codes of conduct that could be adopted, and maybe within your groups to at least be aware that this is in the pipeline if it hasn't already been discussed within political groups. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Bentley.
Yes, thank you for that. I mean, I'd just come back to, though, how accurate is this going to be to the final County Council model? Because if it isn't going to be close enough, we can't really discuss it yet. I think really we need to wait to see what that's actually going to look like. If you can help us tonight and probably put more meat on the bones, then that would be helpful.
Unfortunately, Chair, I think the County Council's monitoring officer gave the indication that their corporate governance working group were going to be looking at the options. And if they felt that one of the three options as it stands is okay at the moment, they would run with that and they would be able to make a quite quick decision. But if they felt that some more fine tuning was needed, there would then be a potential delay, which would take us into, as I think, as I said, Chair, early next calendar year, and they might further adapt one of the three codes of conduct that's in front of you this evening.
Councillor Bentley.
Thank you, Chair. I'll just come back on that. So we've got another meeting, haven't we, before Christmas. Can I suggest that perhaps tentatively we put this on the agenda? Because if it can be adopted by, or at least looked at by this committee prior to Christmas, if it's available, then that would be a good thing.
Councillor Rawlings.
Just one other request. I found it quite difficult to compare the documents because they're all, obviously, it's one PDF. So I think it would be helpful if they can be circulated to this committee, ideally in Word format, just so we can do our own comparisons on them, because at the minute we've just got one long PDF document, whereas if I can just compare right between documents, it would be much easier.
We should be able to do that, Chair, if you leave that with us to circulate outside the meeting.
Councillor Bentley.
Okay, yeah, thanks for that. You're absolutely right. I think it would make it easier. But I think if you're in the margins, perhaps comparing the various options, is to perhaps put your own notations in there about why you would think that perhaps one element is going to be superior to another. Maybe that'd be helpful for the members here, or not. I mean, that's for the members to decide. It's just a suggestion.
Choosing my words carefully here, Chair, I was originally going to circulate a tracked changes version of the amended LGA code so you could see what the group of monitoring officers suggested should be changed. They've changed so many things that I think to circulate that tracked changes version would have made it even more complex than what you have in front of you this evening. I think each of the codes has some strengths and each of the codes has some weaknesses. And I think I would be loath to say which bits I think are good and which bits I think are bad, because you'd then get three different versions, all with lots of good and bad points, and that would make trying to compare each of them even more difficult, Chair.
Councillor Bentley.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Ward, for that. But you are a monitoring officer, so therefore you hold this position. So we turn to you for advice. And I would appreciate it if you could try to do that. If you really feel that you can't, then I accept that. But it would be a steer, perhaps.
For example, Chair, the current code of conduct has the disclosable pecuniary interests as required under the Localism Act, and it then has another category of personal interests and as personal interests that could lead to bias. I think that's quite clear. I think councillors have worked with those categories for many years. They understand how those categories work. Both of the LGA version codes have completely new categories of interest that are talked about as registrable interest and non-registrable interests with subcategories within those. Now, as an example, I think Pule is an example for Councillor Bentley. I think our current code is much better on that particular point than either of the new codes. So I'm quite happy maybe to take it in blocks rather than line by line and try and give you some pointers as to what areas I think are best. But that would be an example of the sort of level I think I'd be comfortable giving you.
Okay, that'd be grand. Thanks, Mr. Ward.
Councillor Rawlings.
I think the problem with that is we then will end up with a situation where Charnwood are proposing something that's different to the county are going to be proposing, and then the other districts and boroughs are going to be proposing. So I suppose the easier question to ask the monitoring officer is, was there a vote taken on the group of monitoring officers that put forward this third option? So there must have been some form of agreed position in the end for you to all present it to your member conduct committees. And if so, did you vote in favour of the third option?
That's actually quite an interesting question, Chair. I think the fact from all the monitoring officers, my understanding is, have gone to their through their relevant governance processes, giving a range of options. So I think the fact that we did not all settle on one code to come to you with and say this is the one we recommend that you should, as members, should adopt, suggests that we didn't reach a firm conclusion ourselves as to the, as to whether or not one code was better than another. I think if we had done that, we would be coming to you tonight saying, please consider adopting this as the definitive code. I think all of us felt that the LGA code had some complexities and weaknesses within it. I mean, I personally do not like using the first person all the way through. I think that's quite childish, personally. But the LGA were quite keen on that because they felt it placed onuses on councillors as individuals to confirm that they as an individual recognised the requirements within the code. So I think the answer is, Chair, that monitoring officers collectively did not reach a firm view on which that one of these three options was the one that they felt we could substantively recommend to our members.
Councillor Bentley.
Chair, I think that what you need to do before this comes before this committee again is almost all be locked in a room together and we'll look for the grey smoke coming out the chimney when you've decided on an absolute way forward, because otherwise this thing is going to go on forever. You seem quite certain about elements of this that you're just not happy with. And I agree, if you're not happy, you need to voice that strongly. But it can't be kicked around like a football for the next 5 years. But you've said to us tonight, you seem quite clear about things that are wrong. You need to go back to the County Council and just say, this is wrong. You've discussed it with this meeting. And we've asked you to go back, if you like, more with a firm hand and say, well, this does work, this doesn't work. Let's get this thing sorted out.
Through you, Chair, having been involved in discussions with the monitoring officers, I think it's safe to say that none of us, well, I'll speak for myself because I can't speak for the others. I do not like the LGA code. I think it's a retrograde step. I think our current code is much easier to understand. But the LGA code has obviously been developed nationally. There's been a lot of work and effort gone into it. But again, I think the fact that monitoring officers locally felt that there were elements of it that needed to be amended should suggest to you that collectively we had concerns about the LGA code as a document.
Councillor Bentley.
Therefore, do you think it's probably fairly unlikely you're going to be able to come to a decision with the County Council then as to what the code should contain? Is that pretty, looking in your view, fairly unlikely?
I think it's too early to say, Chair. I can't predict what the County Council will do. And they are going through a governance process at the moment the same as we are. So, and if I had come to you tonight to make a definitive decision, we may have ended up with one, and I think it'll be a very similar process at the County Council's end. But ultimately, we monitoring officers can advise, and as Councillor Bentley says, we are the experts, but ultimately this is your code of conduct. You as councillors collectively are going to have to understand and comply with whatever code of conduct you end up adopting at full council. There will never be a perfect code of conduct. I mean, going back to the pre-localism act days when there was a national code of conduct that every council by law had to adopt with specified wording, that was not a perfect document. There will never be a perfect code of conduct, so I think you have to weigh each of them up in the round and come to a conclusion as to which you feel is the best option in front of you, Chair.
Councillor Bentley.
Thank you. So we'll probably end up with a good plan rather than the excellent plan, because the excellent plan is unachievable. But it still could do with being a Leicestershire plan that incorporates all the boroughs, the county and the parishes. So if that can be achieved, that'd be a big step forward. And it, truly, there's elements there you just don't like. You need to be able to voice that strongly and get consensus from the other monitoring officers, and you know, let's try and get it thrashed out.
Just for absolute clarity, Chair, the current common code of conduct has never been adopted by all of the authorities in Leicestershire. We adopted it and the county adopted it and several other of the districts did, but not all of the districts ever did. So as of yet, we've never been able to reach that consensus opinion where there is a shared code of conduct amongst all the authorities in Leicestershire. And somebody raised the issue of our parish councils earlier. We have at least three different codes of conduct that are currently in operation amongst our parish councils. My concern is if we at Charm would end up adopting a new code of conduct, some of the parishes will follow what we do, some won't, and we'll therefore end up with at least four different codes of conduct in operation amongst the parish councils. And one of the problems with this is the Localism Act allows each individual local authority, principal authorities and parish and town councils, to adopt their own codes of conduct. There is no national code. And this is one of the issues that the LGA were trying to solve in producing a national code of conduct, but the monitoring officers in Leicestershire have already suggested amending that national code of conduct, which means even if within Leicestershire we manage to adopt the adapted LGA code, for example, our neighbouring authorities in Rushcliffe, if they adopted the LGA national code, will be operating under a different code of conduct to ours, because the one we would have would be the adapted LGA code. So my personal view is, and Councillor Bentley's been very clever in pressing me to get my personal view is, if you're going to have the benefit of a shared national code of conduct, you should probably run with the LGA code of conduct and accept its weaknesses. If you start adapting it locally, it's then not a national code of conduct. And to me, we're then in the situation where if you're not going to adopt a national code of conduct that's common across the whole of the country, why don't we stick with what we've got?
Councillor Ransom.
Thank you, Chair. Well, that's very confusing, isn't it? But the fact is, I think what we need to do is just stand fast here and actually just wait and see what comes out and develops from the actual Leicester County Council Code of Conduct. And then we can work forward, and as Councillor Bentley said and Councillor Rawlings and everybody has said, then bring it back to this meeting and actually affirm what we're going to do. It is going to get very confusing because, I'm trying to reiterate and get across that, and I think I'm going to suggest that once we have decided at this committee which one we're going to adopt, then we actually have got to take it to the full council and actually emphasise, if we've actually had to change anything, that all 52 councillors are obliged, not actually, they have got to actually do the code of conduct training. I'm sorry, it sounds very pedantic of me and sounds very harsh of me, but that's it straight from the hip, you know. That's what it is. So I agree with Mr Ward and the other councillors that have commented. Let's wait and see. That's why we're putting it on the back burner at the moment. But then we've got to make a decision by the next, before Christmas, we have another meeting on the 13th. And then after that, for the full council in the new year, we've got to make some decisions. Okay? Thank you. Sorry about that.
Councillor Rawlings.
Thank you, Chair. I think there are three things we need to do. The first is we do need to take a proper look at the documents that are before us and make representations via our political groups to the County Council. And the reason I say that is because I'm not comfortable just sitting back and allowing the County Council to adapt things and say, right, this is what we're doing, and we then just automatically follow suit if we're not happy with it. So I think we need to look at it as councillors. We need to make representations through our political parties to the County Council before they make a decision. Then we need to see what the County Council do. and then it needs to come back to this committee with the three options that are before us tonight, except for the one that references the monitoring officer's adapted version needs to go, and it needs to be the version that the County Council have adopted, because ultimately that's what we're looking at doing. So this report would probably come back slightly amended to have the County Council's adopted version rather than the amended code produced by the group of Leicestershire monitoring officers. But from my point of view as an elected representative, it's important that we do have a say on it, and I think just sitting back and allowing the county to take control of that isn't okay, and we do need to be sure, especially given what our monitoring officer is saying about the weaknesses, that we're comfortable with what the county council are likely to propose. And the only way we're going to have any say on that is by putting our views across via probably political groups. So I think those are the three things that need to happen.
Councillor Hamilton.
Thank you, Chair. It's actually just to agree, because the points I was make have already been made, that the ideal for us would be to be aligned with county. But I agree with Councillor Rowlands, we don't want to be passive in that. So there has to be a dialogue going on. And then once we know what county wants, it's then a discussion, do we align? But the ideal is we're looking for alignment, rather than just have each individual council making its own decision. Thank you.
Councillor Bentley.
It sounds like we're all singing off the same hymn sheet, doesn't it? I mean, we're not going to be railroaded by county, and that's why I've asked for Mr. Ward to put forward forcefully his views if things don't work. But if it can be made to work, then great. But if it can't, then we need to look at something else. But I really do wish it does work.
Councillor Rowlands.
I suppose I think coming from that then, the proposal probably ought to be slightly amended for today's meeting. So that would, in my view, be that we defer this until the County Council make a decision, but we also ask the monitoring officer to circulate to members the two documents that are before us tonight as separate documents. And I think the monitoring officer said he's prepared to put some block comments on certain aspects of the changes, so we can consider as members what the advice is from the monitoring officers about potential weaknesses. So the monitoring officer will no doubt spot weaknesses in the proposed code that we as members wouldn't pick up on, because we, whilst we have to follow the code, we don't deal with its day-to-day application as the monitoring officer does. So I think the proposal probably ought to be twofold. The first is to circulate the versions separately with the monitoring officer's bulk comments on certain blocks. And the second is that we defer until the County Council make a decision and then bring it back before the committee.
Councillor Rollins, would you like to propose that?
Very happy to make that proposal.
Do we have a seconder?
I made the first proposal. I will withdraw my proposal and I will second Roy's proposal.
So, councillors, we have a proposal and a seconder. All those in favour? It's unanimous. Thank you. Councillor Gerrard.
Thank you, Chair. I haven't had any paperwork, but listening to what's been going on, I do fully support it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Well, we'll move on then to item 7, the work programme.
Thank you, Chair. This is really just an information report, so you're aware of what's coming up at future meetings. We will obviously add in the decision that you've made tonight to come back to you at the December meeting and give you an update on where the County Council have got to at that stage with their governance processes and whether or not they're going to introduce a new code of conduct. And the other thing probably is there's a couple of to-be-scheduled items at the bottom of the table, Chair. The one up from the bottom, the second one up from the bottom there, the review of local government ethical standards by the Committee on Standards in Public Life, that's been on the work programme for a while. The recommendations of the committee were submitted to the government and the government has not yet responded to them. It's a question, I think, Chair, whether you want to leave that on there, as my gut instinct is probably that this is not top of the government's priority list at the moment. And we as officers, if you decided to take that off, we as officers would keep an eye on what was going on and we would add it back in to the work programme if there are any developments. But obviously, leaving it in, there's no harm in leaving it in either, Chair, as another option, but it may be there for some time.
Councillor Rawlings.
I would suggest that we leave it there, as long as it doesn't create any extra officer work by having it as a standing item at the end of the report. At least it reminds us at each meeting, which aren't that often, that it's something that's still on the agenda for some point in the future.
Any other comments, councillors? Okay, I think we should leave that in. And thank you very much. All that's the work noted. And thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. That's the end of the meeting.